Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be talking about part two of The Real David Platt, which is a documentary made by the former members of McLean Bible Church, which used to be a very influential megachurch in the surrounding D.C. area. So Northern Virginia mostly, but I do believe they have some footprints in Maryland as well. This is a very formerly influential church. It is a church that Donald Trump has stopped by, in which David Platt actually apologized for praying for Donald Trump, actually. So there's a lot going on with this church. This is a church that used to be huge, but David Platt was put in charge and he's cratered this church. This documentary gets into why and how it happened. And part two uncovers some more sensitive material. And you would think people like Julie Royce and the Abuse Inc. crowd, like Rachel Den Hollander, Krista Brown, etc., etc., you'd think they would be pouncing on McLean Bible Church for their mishandling of a certain situation that happened under their care. But they do not. This story should be getting a lot more traction. This documentary should be getting a lot more coverage by Christian media, but it is not. And you should pay attention to who is not covering this story. But first, I want you to know Evangelical Dark Web is a Christian news gathering and commentary ministry. Not only are we covering the story, we have been covering this whole story since before the documentary was announced. We've been covering McLean Bible Church, the corruption, how they tried to have their own members arrested and stuff like that. So we've been covering this the entire time, and you can, you know, that's our Patreon, but we also have a free newsletter. The least you can do is like this channel or like this video and subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you're new. Also check out Winning Not Winsome, my book, linked in the description below. And this is about 10 commandments of spiritual warfare. I think one day I'll write like a correct version of the book Radical, like, you know, not a poverty gospel, but, you know, not a prosperity gospel either. Because I think David Platt's Radical does a lot of damage. It has a lot of bad ideas in particular about finance and very unsustainable practices for Christians to implement. So I think we need to have some counterbalance to that. But that's a future project. That's not even going to be my next book. Anyway, we got some clips or a clip from the documentary that I wanted to share. It is kind of long, so we're going to take a few breaks in between. But nonetheless, this is the clip that will set up the context for what we are talking about today.
Some of you may recall a situation that occurred before I came here as pastor involving one adult here at the Tysons campus who engaged in inappropriate communication and conduct as a volunteer from The Rock, our student ministry.
The family brought the allegations against the perpetrator, Scott Woods, in 2016, December of 2016. Here we have the congregational meeting minutes from September of 18, when Scott Woods is officially removed from membership. So I'll just read Larry Cooper's following statement. As provided for in the scriptures and in our constitution, one of the responsibilities of the elders is the manner of discipline of erring members and regular attendees and their reconciliation if they repent and demonstrate the fruit of repentance. Sadly, we have had separate incidents related to conduct involving a former member who ceased to attend on his own volition, Scott Woods.
So I guess one of the big questions that everybody has is why, if the allegations were brought in 2016, is it not until 2018 that any of us are even hearing his name? No one knows what he did. The congregation is completely in the dark as to what happened.
So this is a very big deal. The fact is, it sounds like multiple families came forward against this guy. It is worth noting they didn't go to the police, as far as I'm aware, and the documentary does not suggest that they went to the police. despite the fact that the allegations against him are criminal in nature. So that's kind of a bad action on their part. But the fact is, McLean Bible Church didn't tell its members until way after the fact. And how well did they handle it in the meantime? So a lot of red flags here. And you, again, this is the type of thing that so many people would jump on. But David Platt is getting a pass here by a lot of people in Christian media.
And I had never heard the name Scott Woods before this congregational meeting. So it was as if the church handled it very quietly, kind of warning him to just leave, please, and that way everybody's safe and sound. In November of 19, David Platt gives a sermon, and he specifically addresses this situation in the student ministries with Scott Woods.
Here's what I've put in motion, just to make you aware. Months ago, I commissioned an outside group with expertise in helping churches and other organizations like churches protect children. I have asked them to evaluate all of our policies, procedures, and practices at MBC in the past, including that situation and the present, to make sure that we are doing everything we possibly can to protect children.
The families were encouraged to hear that David was doing this effort, but one of the mothers challenged him, if something is uncovered, if a cover-up is revealed, are you going to do the right thing? And he promised her yes.
Yes, that situation was years ago. Yes, that volunteer is no longer in our church. And yes, these security improvements were good.
To this day, we still don't know the results of that.
We got a very high level, this is not good, but we never got any details. We never got any details of it. I never knew what the final outcome was.
In a private meeting between the families and David Platt, the families are questioning what the church's response was to the allegations and the evidence that they brought forth regarding the predator, Scott Woods, and his grooming. David's response to the mishandling of the situation, David Platt tells the family,
I see dropped balls all over the place.
So who actually received the 130-page document that this family left for Lon Solomon?
Here.
So this is also a big deal, is that people reported this to the church, they gave evidence to the church, and the allegation of this documentary is largely that this was suppressed. And I guess the motive for suppressing it would be to save face and to protect the reputation of McLean Bible Church, because scandals like this are pretty damaging to a church, a local church's reputation.
Here's the heartbreaking letter to Lon from an attendee of 22 years. Lon, we left for you at McLean Bible Church a 130-page letter and supporting documents dated July 5th, 2017, providing irrefutable proof of inappropriate sexual and illegal behavior by Scott Woods, a volunteer youth leader at The Rock. We would like to know if you ever saw and read the information that we left for you. If so, why didn't you ever say anything or contact our family or the other families?
I just received a copy of your email to me via Lon Solomon Ministries regarding.
So I wanted to pause right here. In the last video that I did talking about this documentary, I was left wanting to know more about Lon Solomon's departure from McLean Bible Church. We get more details about that in part two. Now, particularly what was alleged in part one was that the split was not amicable. We get a little bit more meat on that bone in this part, especially as Lon Solomon details the year 2017 in this letter.
Your son, dated May 20th, 2018. I must confess that I was shocked, saddened, and taken totally by surprise. I had to read it over and over several times to be sure I understood all the things you said in it. I have never received any correspondence of any kind from you or anyone else regarding the situation. I certainly did not receive the 130-page document referenced in your email that you left for me at McLean Bible Church in July 2017. nor was I ever informed by anyone at NBC about your situation or that it even existed. Your email represents the first I have heard about it. By early 2017, I had signed my succession agreement with NBC and had been removed by the elders of NBC from all operational responsibilities. So, in July 2017, although it may have appeared differently to some, the truth is I had been transitioned by the elders of NBC to the role of senior teaching pastor, a role with no formal operational function or control at NBC. I can assure you that had I been told about your situation or received your letter that you mentioned in your email, I would certainly have contacted you right away. Furthermore, I do not know who this Scott person is, nor was I aware until I received your email of any of these allegations against him. Moreover, I was not a part of, nor did I have any knowledge of, the way this situation has been processed by NBC.
So basically, Lon Solomon is saying, I was getting forced out in the process, so I didn't know about this. And I guess that's believable given what we know about the situation, given how much the elders, it's on email, how much they were willing to lie to him about, you know, little things like the Southern Baptist Convention. Why wouldn't they lie to him about bigger things like, you know, a youth volunteer grooming children or getting touchy-feely or anything like that? So that part was very interesting to me. You know, these people left Lon Solomon documents. Again, why didn't they take that to the police? Especially when they allege that they were criminal in their nature. But I that's not really a digression, because that's a very major point. Like, you shouldn't be reporting these things to pastors or schools or right to the police. But anyway, that is huge that they covered this up from a lot of their members. And the idea that they mishandled this is a big deal. It is a big deal. Especially since this guy, Scott Woods, could have just gone on to the next church and did what he did, and there wasn't any public repercussions of his behavior. So that's bad. Another thing to note, this is probably my last point, is about polity. This church polity is pretty important. Obviously, there's a lot of different ways to go about it, but one thing that's clear is, to me, is that a figurehead pastor with no real eldership, you know, authority or obligations and stuff, that is not biblical ecclesiology. They basically had, you know, it's kind of like Steve Lawson at his church. And then, you know, and so Lon Solomon was made to be a puppet teacher, like not really an elder. He's just a speaker. Because he's very compelling on a Sunday morning that we just have him be a speaker. And to some degree, David Platt is like that now. He's the lead senior pastor. But how much, you know, is he controlling the behind the scenes inner workings of McLean Bible Church? Or is it Dale Sutherland that's largely in charge of that place? So those are my concluding thoughts within the documentary. Part two is very interesting just overall. It talks about finance. It has a DEI cop, you know, arresting or trespassing two of the congregants. Obviously, she knew that the judge would throw out these charges, but then insisted, don't argue law with me and stuff like that, even though you know that a trespassing charge is going to get dismissed. Come on. That is like one of the most dismissible charges out there. But, and it was in the documentary. So there's a lot of stuff that goes on in part two. It's a little more scattered in its focus, but it does have some heavy hitting parts like what I just showed in that highlight reel. But again, I recommend all the parts of this documentary. And that's all I got to say about that for now. My name is Ray. This is the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this content, do also subscribe if you are new. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.